Radio. One of the best parenting tools we have is that we were all kids once, right? We know what it's like to be a child and what they need. But since those days, a little thing called digital technology has come along. And while we played outside and got our hands dirty, kids' lives nowadays revolve more and more around devices and screens. Their reality is very different to what ours was. So without having been there ourselves, what's the best way to manage their use of technology to help them become more tech savvy, not tech slaves? Dr. Christy Goodwin is a digital parenting expert and the author of Raising Your Child in a Digital World. Hey, Christy, lovely to chat.
Likewise, nice to be here.
Let's start with the young ones. At what age should we introduce children to technology?
Look, it's really difficult to prescribe a certain age. The research evidence tells us fairly conclusively that young children, their brain is incapable of making meaning from a screen until they're somewhere between 18 and 36 months. So kids can use technology before that age, but if we actually want them to learn from it, it's not until they're somewhere between 2 and 3 years of age that they can actually learn from a screen. In those early years, they learn a lot more from real people and real objects. That's not, however, to say, you know, you need to blindfold your child and keep them away from screens. But I think be realistic, you know, popping your child on the iPad or in front of educational DVDs isn't necessarily going to prepare them for Harvard.
Is there an age that's too young for devices?
Look, again, it's really hard to prescribe an age. I say to parents, don't be in a hurry to dunk your child in the digital stream. There's a great video clip on YouTube showing a Labrador learning to use a touchscreen device fairly easily. And because the technology is so intuitive, our kids pick it up. So I think parents are under a lot of marketing pressure to introduce screens. I say to parents, I think somewhere, you know, even from 18 months, kids can learn with technology if they're using it with their parents. So, you know, watching a television program together or playing a game on a touchscreen device or looking at photos or videos on mum or dad's smartphone can be a great way to introduce it to them. And it also means that they can actually benefit from it because the parent's there helping them to make the bridge the gap between the screen and real life, which their brain can't do on its own.
Right. How much is too much screen time?
That's the number one digital dilemma facing modern parents. We do have government guidelines. In Australia, these are currently being revised and they're due to be updated in October this year. So at the moment, our government guidelines say for 0 to 2-year-olds, no screen time whatsoever. For our 2 to 5-year-olds, no more than 1 hour a day. And for our 5 to 12-year-olds, 1 to 2 hours of screen time a day. Now, I can hear parents panicking if I say those numbers. We've had research that tells us that 85% of Australian families aren't actually adhering to these guidelines. So I personally believe these guidelines are outdated. In parent seminars, when I share these recommendations with parents, their jaws literally hit the floor and there's almost a sense of moral panic in the room. I actually think we need to stress and worry less about how much time kids are spending with screens. They definitely need limits, so I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. They need boundaries around how much. But I think what's more important is that we actually look at what they're doing with screens, when they're using them, how they're using them and with whom, rather than just obsessing over the amount of time they're spending with a device.
So how important is having time away from the screen?
Yes, absolutely vital. I call it green time. So I say to parents, we need to balance kids' screen time with their green time. And we know, for example, the brain really needs a rest from processing things on a screen. We know we often get what I call techno tantrums. When kids come off the screen, they often appear very frustrated and agitated. And one of the things we think is happening is that they're nervous and their sensory system is getting overwhelmed in this online world. There's lots of things to look at and process. And so we know that when we take them out in nature, it helps to recalibrate their brain, it helps to calm them down and helps their sensory and nervous systems readjust as well. So outdoor play, time outside is important. We've also got some really exciting new research that tells us that we're seeing a huge increase in myopia, which is nearsightedness, and we thought it was because kids are spending too much time with their devices, and we still think that is a reason, but it's also what they're missing out on, and that is natural sunlight. We know that kids aren't often getting natural sunlight for their vision to develop.
Of course. Should we be leading by example? We parents be leading by example with this?
We should. And our kids are inheriting our digital habits. And I'm a mum and I use technology around my kids. So I'm not saying, you know, we need to digitally abstain from using technology, but we have to be really mindful. We've had studies that have shown us that Australian kids wish their parents use their devices a whole lot less than what they do. So, yes, monkey sees, monkey do. But it's hard. You know, many of us use our devices for work purposes, and the lines of demarcation between home life and personal life and work life have become blurred. So, you know, we're trying to navigate this digital terrain. And I say to parents, rest assured, you know, we're the first generation of parents that are really raising digital kids, and we're making decisions, and especially parenting decisions, on the fly.
We're talking to Christy Goodwin, who is a digital parenting expert and the author of Raising Your Child in a Digital World. Is it okay to give children a device to keep them quiet?
Lots of us do it, and I'm going to raise my hand and say myself included. We call it the digital pacifier or the digital babysitter. I say to parents, we have to be careful about always doing it. Giant big permission slip for parents: it's okay for your child to be bored. Go and high five your child says that the next time. Kids need boredom, and I think we've got to be careful about always handing them over a screen to pacify them or to ameliorate them when they're frustrated or bored. I think there are some circumstances, you know, I live on the northern beaches of Sydney and I'm notoriously stuck travelling on the Spit Bridge and have a toddler in the back of the car. And, you know, we can count the boats and we can count the different coloured cars. And every now and then I have handed back the phone to calm him down when we've been stuck in, you know, insane Sydney traffic. But what we've got to be careful of is that our kids need to learn self-regulation skills and they can become digitally dependent if we always pacify them.
I have a 15-year-old who's she's permanently attached to her iPhone, and I don't bring my own phone to the table when we're having dinner, but she will often pause just to look into her phone while she's having dinner, and I'm constantly finding myself saying to her, could you please put that down or put it in the cupboard till dinner is over? What's the best way to manage screen time effectively?
Look, I say to parents, we need to be the pilot of the digital plane, and in many instances, it's our child that's the pilot, and we're the passenger way back in economy class.
So definitely.
Really important, because our kids, there's no denying, our kids will know more about the technology than what we do. I don't doubt that for a second, but what they don't have, two things that we have as adults and parents: we have life experience and we've got hindsight and a catastrophe scale, and we've also got what the research tells us is a prefrontal cortex. It's basically the part of the brain that makes logical, smart decisions. It manages our impulses. And the neuroscience tells us that that part of the brain isn't fully developed until females are in their early 20s and males in their late 20s. So they're designed to be impulsive. They're designed to make, you know, silly, irrational decisions. And this is why we have to be so careful with social media in particular, because they're using these tools in ways that aren't necessarily in a smart fashion. So we've got to be careful. It's really tricky, and one of the reasons why our kids gravitate, particularly our preteens and teens, to technology is that as humans we're biologically wired for relational connection. We want to belong and connect, and these devices cater for that so beautifully. The reason that your daughter probably finds it hard to sit at the dinner table and not check her device is that when we use technology, we also enter something called the state of insufficiency, and we never ever feel done. There's always a new message or an alert or a notification or a level in the game that we can get to. So there's never that feeling of being complete or satiated. So it's really tricky to manage.
Maybe the dinner conversation needs to be a little bit more interesting.
Yes. And I've seen some great cards being promoted at the moment, like little printout PDF cards, you know, dinner conversation starters, to help spark that.
That is fantastic. Where can you get them?
I can give you a link afterwards. I've seen one called Chatterbox and Common Sense Media have got a whole campaign around what they're calling device-free dinners. So they're a non-for-profit organisation in the US. Media, and their campaign is all around these, getting people to actually unplug and plug back into each other around mealtimes.
That's a really fantastic recommendation there. We'll take a healthy break now from technology with a little music, and then we'll talk about what our kids need to be doing with technology to help them be ready for the future.
He said, yeah, it's a great story, that one. You know, that bloke who painted that picture, he was in love, but she was his best friend's wife, and that drove him mad.
Wow.
He died eventually, and I'm there going, poetry, art, love, desire, betrayal, lust, madness, death.
Okay, so it was either lunch, bus fare, or prerequisite art, and you chose art on this one day.
I chose art.
Hear the full podcast on the ABC Radio app or go to abc.net.au/conversations.
Christine Arnoux, and we're talking about helping our kids through the maze of digital technology's do's and don'ts with Dr. Christy Goodwin, a digital parenting expert and the author of Raising Your Child in a Digital World. Christy, how important is it that our children learn how to use technology to help them prepare for the future?
It's absolutely vital. Parents often say, should I be banning or, you know, avoiding screens? And my belief and the research tells us that digital amputation isn't the solution. We've actually got to show our kids how to use them in healthy, helpful and appropriate ways. And the only ways that they can do that is by actually experiencing them and using them. So that's why it's so important that parents start to develop these healthy habits with their kids. And it starts from the minute you hand your toddler your smartphone, and it continues. It's not, you know, a one-off thing that you teach them. It's an ongoing process as you travel throughout childhood and adolescence as well.
Okay, what are some of the main things our children should be doing on devices to help them gain the skills they'll need?
Yes, ideally we want kids creating. So a lot of the time our kids are consuming when they're watching YouTube clips. We've got toddlers that are obsessed with watching unboxing videos at the moment. We've got primary school kids who are infatuated with watching videos of video gamers playing video games. So a lot of their time, and when they're consuming content like that, a lot of it is passive activity. And what we really want kids to do is to use technology as a functional tool. So we want them to use it to create digital content and digital artifacts. So getting them using it as a tool to create digital books or to create animations. There's a really big push in Australian schools at the moment, which is fantastic, in terms of getting kids to use technology to code and to program. Mm. So getting kids, and when they do that, the thinking is a lot more involved. They're using a lot more higher order thinking skills. They have to, you know, critically evaluate and apply their understanding. When they consume, they can often turn into what I call the digital zombie, where, you know, you could be on fire in the background and they would be completely oblivious to it.
Wow.
They become so entranced in what they're watching.
When should we let our children have their own social media accounts? Because I won't let my 15-year-old have one.
Yes. Oh, good for you. I love hearing you. Take a hard approach.
She has Insta.
Dividends. And she's probably told you you're the worst mum in the world. She's the only 15-year-old in her whole school or the whole universe without access to social media, I'm sure.
She's on Insta, and she's allowed to go into my Facebook and look around, but she's not allowed to have her own account yet.
Wonderful. Look, I say to parents, this is one of the biggest issues facing parents, particularly in primary school. We now know that nearly 79% of Australian kids aged 10 to 12 years of age have a social media account, which
wow.
is absolutely staggering. And the problem is they're playing in these digital playgrounds and there's no one there supervising them.
So how can we protect them? How can we protect their privacy online?
really, really important. So if they are setting up a social media account with your consent, we need to delay it until at least the absolute minimum is 13 years of age. I often say that's really conservative. You've got to make sure your child has social and emotional skills to go along with using the social media wisely. Obviously, if they are setting up an account, you need to make sure that they've got their privacy settings, which change all the time. So you need to make sure they're constantly being updated.
Yep.
And we've got to talk to our kids about everything that they post, because kids, again, don't have this prefrontal cortex. They will make impulsive decisions and they will share inappropriate things, write inappropriate comments, etc. We have to tell them that everything that they share, post or write on social media or anywhere online, in fact, leaves behind what I call digital DNA. And we often talk about a digital footprint, but I think when we start to think about it in terms of digital DNA, they realise, because often kids think that it's not permanent, they can delete it or they can, you know, a Snapchat message just disappears.
Yeah.
It's not the case. So talking to them about the permanence, and again, because they've got no hindsight, it, you know, and they are impulsive, they will post things that perhaps they shouldn't.
Oh, goodness. So what, just quickly, Christy, when should we allow our children to have their own mobile phone?
Again, like social media, I say delay it for as long as you can. You know, these are more than just a phone. You're providing your children with a device that can connect to the internet. It can capture and share videos and photos. So we obviously want to make sure, firstly, that our child is responsible enough to care for an expensive tool that we're going to give them. We also need to make sure that they are mature and sensible enough to cope with the demands of using the device, because they will probably use it more than what as just a phone. We need to, when we do decide to give them a phone, I think making sure that you've got very firm boundaries. Again, if you're the pilot of the digital plane, spelling out very clearly what the terms of use are in terms of how often and what they can do on it. Look, I'm often pushed for an actual age. I really don't believe kids in primary school need one. I know a lot of parents say, but I want to be able to contact them. And if that's the case, sometimes giving your child a dumb phone, you know, just literally a basic phone where all it can do is send and receive phone calls, is the better option.
Fantastic. So,
delay it as long as you can.
Well, thanks a lot, Christy, for you chatting with me today. It was all very, very interesting.
Pleasure, Christine.
That's